introduce today's speaker. We don't have many fundraising events at the door. I think today we have these little cards. They are only 50 rand per card, 2 rand blocks. And I encourage everybody to take as many as they can and, you know, complete them and return funds to us in Shoma. Like I said, we have no other, very few people.
نعمة وفضلت. I would have loved to talk a little bit more about the nafs and the struggles of the nafs and some of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have mentioned earlier on, how Allah refers to us becoming slaves of our nafs, that we actually start worshipping our nafs. But also for that, there's some wonderful further reading that you can take up on. Those translations of Ihya Ulumuddin of Imam al-Ghazali are now, mashallah, very freely accessible in our community. So I very much also, inshallah, encourage and advise you to read further on that. Imam al-Ghazali, inshallah. I'd like to open the floor for some hikmah and wisdom also to be shared from your side. Anybody? Share just some reflection, some comment, some observation, some remark on your side.
It's a very difficult
Shafiq, restaurant.
It's very difficult for our community to be able to enter culture in our feasting.
Yes, that's culture for you. That's what culture does. Culture is our identity and who we are.
SubhanAllah.
Yes. Culture is our identity and who we are.
Oh, the nafs.
So the nafs is one of two things, literally, kind of our souls and the state, our soul, we comprise of a body and a soul. This body is not who we are. We are who we are is the condition and the state that our soul is in. So we are made up of a body, which is this, but when the soul leaves this body is no longer us. We go to Allah with that soul. And if this soul leaves this body, then there's no life left in this body. And even my own children will now no longer identify with this body. They want to get this body into the ground. Because this is not who I am. I'm God. And so the first part of the nafs is the soul. The soul, who we are, is the soul. And the second understanding of the nafs is about how we become, how we have these how do I say the word, desires, how we have the things we want of this world, of this dunya, the things that we want. The nafs represents all the things that we want of enjoyment in this dunya. We just want lots of money, we want lots of things to own and possess in this dunya. And which makes us forget about Allah and the Akhirah. That's the nafs. The nafs loves the things of this dunya, and it makes us, as a result, forget about Allah and the Akhirah. And I hope that makes sense.
The jihad and nafs is essentially in terms of fasting.
So the jihad and nafs, yes, is of course it's a practical. The fasting is a practical implementation of jihad and nafs, and so therefore, it makes sense that if Allah, as He says, we abandon those, abandon all these desires and all these natural things that we want, for Allah's sake, that's why this fasting is so great, and that's why He will reward us for that. It then makes sense that we can't do all of that sacrifice only during the hours of the day. And then we think that as soon as the adhan goes, that we now forget about that. And we don't. I mean, we don't intentionally maybe do it like that. But we fall into it. Right? We fall into it. And so it requires a high level of sabr to extend. It's a high level of consciousness to extend this outlook and this mind frame to the Bukka table. To extend it to the Bukka table. Right? But not in that literal sense, but what I mean, to make our consciousness also guide us when, of course, we're sitting down and eating and thinking about how this food now that I'm taking in, the dates of the Prophet, I'm talking about the dates and the water, and so that I can now again regain and recreate my strength, inshallah, to carry on worshiping Allah. Because at that time I'm pretty kind of deadbeat already, right? Especially in the istifada. And so now I'm gaining some strength, regaining some strength, so that I can go again. So I can go bacha the Quran again now, inshallah. I can go and set my time aside. Now I have to leave now to go to the Tarawih prayers, etc., etc. And so forth, yeah. So, but yeah, culture is something else. Culture is something else. My aunt, Auntie Maria. Auntie Maria, I mean, the person Auntie Maria's, don't bet you.
Chef, the Hadith mentioned about the devil's being changed.
Oh, yeah. So this struggle of ours that we have with the battleground being the heart, of course, in normal times, we are not fighting, we're not having patience only against our nafs, we're also having to fight against our nafs and shaitan. Right? So, part of the understanding that our ulama give, of course, is to say that Allah Ta'ala at least gives us a winning chance. in the month of Ramadan, in that sense that shaitan is restrained, and he's restrained. And so, but we do experience this, I think. I mean, we do experience this. We find the inclination to kind of want to do things in this great month. It's of Allah's grace of this holy month. And I think of course we have to think about it, and we have to reflect on it, and we have to actually internalize it. How do I actually experience this of shaitan's confinement, you know, during Ramadan? How is this experience to me? And it's all good and well to talk about it, but it has to be internalized. It really becomes academic and theoretical if we are not asking ourselves, how am I experiencing this? How am I experiencing this? And so that's what's the great thing about fasting. The fasting forces you and places you into that experience, which we otherwise may not really do. And so, you know, that adage, that saying that says, we don't truly know what we learn. We only truly know what we learn through doing. Once we haven't done it yet, once I haven't asked myself, how am I experiencing this thing about shaitan being confined at this time, then it's just theory. It's just information. And so, mark for this, but so with the rest of the deen, right? We make this deen theory. How does humankind receive from the Ummah? Hudan linnas, the Quran, which is Hudan linnas. How does the Prophet ﷺ's methodologies and strategies and programs of poverty alleviation and all these things that murder in our society, murder in the society. We are the murder capital in the world. Would he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been as contented in all of this around us? How do we also the red stuff, also the red capital. So on a daily basis we have I'm off to make this comparison, but I don't for one moment take away from the cause of Palestine. It's at the top four, upmost in my mind. But, you know, they're now escalating again, as they do in Ramadan. I mean, how evil can you get? But it's strategic, of course, they're doing it strategically. And, but from the beginning of this year until now, so the daily amount of Palestinian deaths is about four a day. And that's horrific, horrendous. The murders, daily murder rate, that's four a day. Do you know what the murder rate is in our country? It's 83 a day. So we theorize when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. So Allah says, Allah equates the killing of one single soul unjustly, equates that to genocide of the entire human race. So how do we operationalize? How do we make that a living reality? Aren't we just looking at it theoretically? And saying that's how Islam, that's how Allah Ta'ala expresses himself about the taking of one an innocent life. And in that verse, by the way, Allah Ta'ala also mentions this thing about corruption. Oh, fasadin fil ard. Corruption in earth, on earth. And we're trying in this country, if we don't wake up, we are gonna have more of July 2021 in Durban. If we don't wake up. Because that's what the corruption has done, that was the corruption. And that corruption is continuing unabated. Yet Allah speaks in the Holy Quran about corruption. Fasadid fil ard. This is part of genocide of the human race. And so that's part of what we should be grappling with in the holy month of Ramadan. If the Prophet ﷺ had to grapple with the battle of Badr in the holy month of Ramadan. Maaf Sheikh, you pushed me in that direction. But yeah, that is, we only to truly know what we learn through doing it. And it's in that way that, I mean, we should learn every day by doing things. Because the vast majority of the things in Islam we don't do. We talk about it. That's why I made the point at the beginning about, I see this in Christian communities where there are family institutes. And, you know, there are brilliantly run and people, the advocates who are the ones who are heading them up, because that's another cultural thing. Ah, for this must not be recorded also. That's another cultural thing, is that our community culturally thinks that, you know, that's too big a question to start now, maybe. But yeah, the point is that we all have to put our shoulder to the wheel. Every single believer, every single leader, every single leader, we have massive leadership talent. Massive leadership talent. Not just those people there at the one is that I'm thinking of now is the Family Policy Institute. They're also an advocacy organization and a parliamentary liaison organization at the same time. But it's Christian based. They do brilliant things in the community. But natuurlijk, die mensen gaan niet meer kerk. That's now another thing with Christianity. Die goeie raad. Right? And so, but why do we still have a leadership crisis? If we have such massive leadership human capital in the Muslim community. Why are we sitting in a leadership That's why I said that's a big, too big a question to pose at this point. But that's what we're sitting with. We're not only sitting with a leadership crisis in South Africa as Muslims. It's global. Because we are struggling with this intellectual crisis of ours. That's why. And this intellectual crisis is about ritualizing the deen of Islam to a few forms of ritual practices.
So this question of leaders in check, can we then say that people need to uprise? Who's going to lead us? We are looking at all another people.
That's the point that you didn't want to go to, which I'm just raising there. That's the cultural point.
We can uprise, but what is going to cause?
No. So this is the point. This is the point. When I said, that's what I meant actually without wanting to say that. When I said that each one of us has to put shoulder to the wheel. Each one of us, Allah says, is a Khalifatullah fil ard. Allah created humankind and saddled and laid the responsibility on the shoulder of every human being. And so none of us is going to be answerable to Allah in a group or in an organization or as part of a
individual.
No! The ayah at the end of Surah Al-Maryam. Farda Sheikh,
please help me. I don't want to quote the ayat wrong.
Yom al Qiyamati, Farda. Atin, Yom al Qiyamati, Farda. So each one will be coming in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah as an individual. I'm not going to be asked, oh Ihsan, what did the NGC say? I'm not going to be asked that. I'm just going to ask me here, what did I do? So culturally, that's a massive problem, but that's not just, but it is a big thing in the Cape, I think. I promise you, the Northern Cape is even bigger. I mean, not the Northern Cape, the north of our country is even grotter, right? It's even bigger. But, I mean, it's also an Ummah thing. And that is it's a crisis. That's part of the leadership crisis. Because remember, I mean, let us be honest and frank. Have the ulama got the skills in order to lead in the kind of things that you are trying to refer to? Have I gone to any kind of school that has trained? We are struggling as ulama, given our curricula. Of Islamic institutions and giving the historical sort of developments in that regard. We hardly, it's part of the reason why Islam remains theoretical. That's part of the reason. But why is it that this guy, who's a colleague of mine, he's an advocate, but he's a very religious Christian man. Michael Swain, I don't know if you guys remember Michael Swain. So he leads up an organization called Freedom of Religion South Africa. But he does that from his motivation is his faith. But his preoccupation of his daily life is about where does the constitution of this country is an advocate. He's not an advocate. Recently, I introduced him as an advocate, and he said, "I'm not an advocate." But he's a legal person, and his life is devoted to monitoring government for any missteps that government takes that will bring about a infringement on the religious rights of citizens of this country. No. Was it kroom lawyers in the gemeenskap? They don't see.
I mean, there are a lot of lawyers in the Muslim community. So we are our children. We are our.
But me to pose in this question is going to take us all over here. I'm not going to refrain from saying that. But there is a Christian mark on this. Because I think that because I'm learning these sort of different aspects of the field, maybe religious, you know, and theoretically and other subjects, is that it should have been a body that's controlling the whole scenario. Besides being an imam or a sheikh, or maybe other capabilities of aspects of.
It's impossible, sheikh. It's impossible because the way our. The way this ummah decides and prefers to conduct themselves in terms of their faith is to regard. It's like pretty much like you know, colonialism, all of these things, and what happened to all of the history. So we are very happy to put Islam as one compartment of our life. When we have institutions, majority of Islamic institutions, what we teach is this is the deen and whatever happens out there, that secular stuff. The Quran does not entertain this notion at all. But that's at the core. And that's what I'm saying. How do you begin to remedy that? It's about leadership. But leadership is not just about religious leadership. That's a small part of it. The deen is the deen just about the akhirah? Just about Jannat? Are we only supposed to be? We can't get to Jannat without dunya. Isn't it? You'll only be given your position in Jannat depending on what you've actually done. Yeah. And the more qualifications you have, and the more highly you are qualified, the higher Allah is going to keep me responsible for what I've done and what I've not done. Because ilm is, and ilm in Islam is not, there's no religious and secular stuff in Islam. Everything is one integrated, coherent whole. But what do we do? No. I'm a lawyer. Mafia very lawyers here. Sorry, I don't mean just a lawyer. Whatever it is, I'm a lawyer. But, you know, what am I doing for Islam? What of my life is serving Allah? That is my life. So people become offended if you're asking, what are you going to say? I'm a lawyer, whatever, right? So that's sort of who you are. But I mean, your entire life is your plying of your trade and your profession is a big part of your living hours. So what part of that is for Allah? What part of that is for humanity? If it's not for Allah, if it's not for humanity, for who is it? Nafsi. 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 But for myself. That's what capitalism is all about. That's what the dominant systems in the world is all about. And we think Islam has nothing to offer. Because we don't send our most intelligent children. They must be the lawyers. I'm just using lawyers as an example now, right? But they must become those people. And I would love to come and talk why we do at IBSA, why we are currently doing a Raduka, because it's about this. We're trying to do something about this. But inshallah, maybe outside Ramadan, you know, we can have the opportunity to.
Sheikh, I just asked, can it be marked?
Last question.
I just took another question. And I think I need to mention this, Sheikh, and I might be marked. I met the counselor, Yahya Adams, you know, he's a member of the Navy, at Spa, the Spirit. And you know, he told the town leader, he said, what's happening with the crisis of our leadership? So he said, we must get the right people in. And I'm going to put the name right at the top. Sheikh Santari. That's what he said.
Mosey, you're the old bastard.
Provoking lecture. I'm sure given the opportunity you can go on all day.
Okay.
We have to break for good. Shukran to everybody for attending. I would really like to see everybody back next week, inshallah.
Sure.
We make dua that Sheikh, Allah grants him good health, strength, Amen. Inshallah.
Amen.
And preserve him for many more years, inshallah, Amen. So that he can come back and give us more thought provoking lectures, inshallah. Shukran to everybody.